Revelation chapter number 3, and I'll begin reading in verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We're going to preach on this subject this morning, why Christ knocks. Why Christ knocks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would please meet with us and use this message in the hearts of each and every one of us to stir us and to communicate with us, Lord, as to our need today. We pray for someone who may be here without Christ as their Savior. And Lord, the honest truth is everyone in here at one time was without Christ. And probably the vast majority of the folks in this room, there was a time where they walked into a church house and they were not saved yet. But Lord, I thank you for the preaching of the word. I thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit that works in our hearts and brings us to that point in our life where we understand our need of salvation. For someone that may be this morning, I pray that it would be. Lord, for us as Christians, please minister to our hearts. We pray for our junior church, our primary church, all that goes on other places, and we ask your power as the word of God's being preached there also. Bless the children. And Lord, we ask again, please, for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Here we see Jesus Christ, and this is Jesus here that is speaking when he says, behold, I stand. That's talking about Jesus Christ standing at the door and knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I want to preach on this message. I was captured by this thought. Have you ever thought about just the simplicity, the common everyday event of somebody knocking at a door? As I was meditating on this scripture, I was thinking that in the course of a single day here, if I'm having an office day where for the vast majority of that particular day I'm in the office, probably, no exaggeration to say, that 10, maybe 15, maybe 20 times a day somebody taps or knocks on the door, and they're doing that for a specific reason. You have people come to your house, strangers. In Indiana, especially rural Indiana, strangers come to the front door. Friends, family come to the back door for the most part. So if you get a knock on the front door, usually that's somebody you don't know. If you get a knock on the back door, you usually just holler, come in, and probably somebody you know. Hopefully you young people are being trained and taught that it's probably good to knock on the door even within your own house at times. Not good to just barge in. Those bathrooms have doors for a reason. Bedrooms have doors for a reason. Just get in the habit of knocking there on the door. Here we have a picture of Jesus Christ knocking. He was knocking for the same reason that most folks are knocking when they knock at a door. He was, in essence, requesting entrance. He was asking for someone to respond to the knock. You notice that in the story here, we do not see Jesus jimmying the door or kicking in the door or producing a key and unlocking it himself and forcing himself in. The Savior appeals to each and every one of our free will, and he wants us to open the door and allow him to come in. Now, there's several things that I want to point out here, but let me say this. Thank God that Jesus Christ is still in the door-knocking business. Amen. I will promise you that this is true, and I want you to think about it, and you tell me if I'm wrong. But I think that really Jesus Christ begins knocking at the door of a man's heart from a very, very early age. From the time that we're old enough to really begin to understand right and wrong, some would call that the age of accountability. I think that there is a persistent knocking that begins at the heart's door that really never stops until one of two things happens. Somebody opens that door or somebody dies without ever opening that door. But I believe that Jesus knocks. I'll say this, I think there's times that we notice it more than others. There may be times we get so busy, we may have stretches of our life that we look back that maybe we say, well, I don't think he was knocking. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe if we put that time of our life under a microscope, it wasn't that he wasn't knocking. It's that we were just so preoccupied that we weren't hearing the knock. Maybe we just kind of gotten to the point where we were a little used to hearing the knock, and we just took it for granted. I do believe that there are times in our lives where the knocking intensifies. Maybe things around us get a little quiet. I preached a funeral yesterday, and I told the folks at the funeral home, you know what, there's times and events that happen in our lives that bring everything to a screeching halt, and here we are gathered in this room, in this place, and nobody really wants to be here, and no one expected to be here and knew they'd be here a week ago. But isn't it amazing how when we are forced to just be quiet, when we're forced to kind of face eternity, when we're forced to go to a place we'd rather not be, and in essence face our own mortality, it's amazing how all of a sudden that knocking sound, we can hear it a little bit clearer than at other times. Perhaps you've had crisis in your own life where maybe you've been faced with some health problems. Maybe the doctor met with you and the news wasn't good, or at least the doctor may have had some suspicions that some things were not right and more tests had to be run, and you go home and you get quiet and all of a sudden the door knocking is a little louder. You hear the knocking a little bit louder. Have you ever been perhaps driving your vehicle and you are maybe your fault, maybe not your fault, but you are in a close call? Or maybe you were not in a close call. Maybe you were in some kind of a fender bender or accident, or I don't know what it is about the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They seem to really like rolling their vehicles completely over. And one of these days I'm going to have somebody stand up and say, okay, if you rolled a vehicle, no, let's not do it now. But one of these days, if you rolled a vehicle, stand up. I think about a third of our congregation has done something like that. We've had people in our church decide they're going to try to knock trains off of railroad tracks with their cars. That's never worked very well. That usually doesn't work. But, you know, you had those instances that happen in your life. And if you're not ready to meet God during that time, it just seems like all of a sudden you start hearing that knocking a little more clearly than you did maybe a day before or 2 days before or a week before. But let me say this, God's always knocking. Jesus Christ is persistent, I'll give him that. Now I do understand that in the context, and I'm going to cover this at the second half of the message or towards the end of the message, I do understand the context of the scripture is talking about the fact, boy, this is sad, that in this particular portion of scripture, Jesus is not knocking at the door of the heart of a lost person. This is what's so sad about this particular portion of Scripture, is that Jesus in this portion of Scripture is knocking at the door of a church house. We're going to talk a little bit about that at the end, but let me say this, it's a Bible principle, and it certainly is true, that Jesus Christ persistently seeks sinners. He persistently goes after the lost. He persistently knocks on the door of the heart of those that are without Jesus Christ, of those that are not saved. Let me say this, because it needs to be said, nobody is born ready for heaven. Nobody's born saved. Some folks think this, they've been taught this, they've been taught wrongly, so that's why a Bible preacher preaches the Word of God, to fix these kind of wrong conceptions. But you may have been told, you know what, you're born and you're on your way to heaven unless you do something really bad that changes that. Well, you say, preacher, why does Jesus Christ knock? Because the honest truth is, we are born in sin. We are born in need of a Savior. We're not born on our way to heaven when we reach the age of accountability. From that point on, as we understand the gospel, when we don't receive the gospel, we are headed to a place called hell. You know, the Bible recognizes this. God sees it, and because of that, Christ really goes after sinners. You say, why? Because of our great need. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon, notice this, all men, for that all have sinned. The honest truth is, there's not a person in the world that could stand up and say, I'm without sin. Well, you could. But 1 John 1:8 says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Why does Jesus come knocking at the heart of the door of a man's heart? Why? Because he knows of his great spiritual need. Every single person is born a sinner. From Adam on, we have chosen sin. Sin has been passed down through to all members of the human race. But folks, it's not just the fact that we're sinners. It's the wages of sin. It's the price tag of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving, abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. For the wages of sin is death. Yes, preacher, I know my body's going to die one day. Yes, but it's not just over then. The Bible says that you have a never-dying soul. This Bible in front of me talks about a place called heaven and talks about a place called hell. And let me say this, one of the reasons Jesus knocks at our doors because he understands that we have a great need. Jesus also knocks at the door of a man's heart because of his great love for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus stands there year in, year out, knocking, 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 knocking. Why is he so persistent? Preacher, when I go to a door, I'll knock two or three times. Somebody doesn't come, I go away. Well, you know what? Jesus isn't like that. He's persistent. You know why? Because he loves us. Well, they didn't answer today. I'll just keep knocking tomorrow. And they didn't answer the next day, so I'm gonna knock the next day. And you know what? If you look back in your life, the honest truth is you can already, maybe with God's help this morning, identify how many times he's come to you knocking at your heart's door, knocking at your heart's door, knocking at your heart's door. Maybe somebody you work with has witnessed to you. Maybe they've given you a gospel track and you read that track, and while you were reading that, you heard the knocking. Maybe you've got a grandmother that's saved and she's praying for you. And the honest truth is, from time to time she calls you or you call her, and from time to time she brings up the Lord. And when she does, you hear this knocking, the Lord knocking at your heart's door. Perhaps have come to church this morning, and you know what? Already during the preaching, the honest truth is, preacher, I'm beginning even now to feel God knocking at my heart door. What's this all about, and why does he come at different times in my life? Why is it that anytime the Bible's brought up or somebody begins to pray for me or I come to church and hear a message, why is it that I hear this sound? It's because God loves you. God loves you and he wants you to be saved. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what? I, as a little boy, knew that Jesus had died on the cross. I remember seeing pictures of Jesus on the cross. I remember seeing the jewelry that some folks wore, and they would have a cross with Jesus hanging on it. And I knew at a very young age that Jesus had died on the cross. But you know what? I just didn't for a lot of years understand why he died on the cross. But this verse of scripture tells me why he died. It says Christ died for us. He died for us. Now understand this. If the wages of sin is death, so what we have to pay for our sin is death, not just a physical death, but an eternal death in this place the Bible called the lake of fire. If that is the punishment for sin, and if Jesus is God's perfect sacrifice, the Son of God who came down, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life. And by the way, when he died, he did not have to die for any of his sins because he was perfect. So that let him and allowed him to be able to die for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for my sins. Boy, what a great day that was when the light came on in my heart. That's why those pictures, that's why the jewelry, that's why I hear stories about Jesus hanging on an old rugged cross. That's why they sing that song in the church house. It's because he died for me. He died for my sins. Luke 19:10. I love this. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what that means? Can I just make it real simple? Jesus said, I come for one reason. This is what it is. I've come to just seek you and seek you and seek you and seek you. And you know, like I said, if you'll take a look in the rearview mirror and you look at the history and the timeline of your life, how many times has the Lord in some way come for you, come to speak to your heart about eternity? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Say, preacher, do some people end up in hell? Yes, I'm sad to say it. I mean it. I get no pleasure in saying this. I wish I could sit up here and say, everybody's going to heaven. But the truth is, I wouldn't be squared up with the Bible if I told you that. Yes, some people will go to hell, but let me say this. They will walk right across the blood of Jesus Christ to go there. They'll walk it underfoot because I don't know of anything more Jesus could have done. He could have stayed in heaven and said, you know what, everybody's sinned and everybody's turned their back on God, so you know what, I'll just let them all go to hell. He could have said that. Jesus Christ didn't have to leave the splendors of glory. He didn't have to come down and be born of a virgin and laid in a manger. He didn't have to go live a perfect life and be spit on because of it, abused and lied about and reviled. No man's ever lived that's brought more good to this world and helped more people in this world, and yet the world took him and nailed him on a cross. But you know what? That was the plan. That's why he came. He could have, the song says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he didn't. They didn't take his life. He offered it. He gave it, a ransom for many. And he does not wish, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the plan that God made and the plan that was carried out was, I will send my Son down to the world, and even though all men have sinned, my Son will pay the sin price. He'll become the supreme sacrifice, and Jesus did that. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. He died on that cross. He was laid in a borrowed tomb for 3 days and three nights, but then up from the grave he arose. And he conquered not only sin, he conquered death. And now because of that, he can offer to us the gift of eternal life to each and every one that would believe in his name. So he knocks and he just keeps knocking. You know why? Because he's done everything else that can be done. He paid for your sins. Now he's enlisted those that are saved to get the gospel out into the world. He's called preachers to preach it. He's called Christians to share it. People have talked to you. People have prayed for you. And the whole time, while the human instrument is trying to give you the message of salvation, that sweet Spirit of God stands there and knocks at your heart door and says, let me in, let me in. Did you notice in the verse here in Revelation chapter 3 that Jesus does not just knock, but he calls as he's knocking? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. So this isn't what Jesus is just doing. This is what Jesus is doing. Open up. I love you. Hey, open up. I died for you. Hey, I died for you. I want to take you to heaven. Hey, you don't have to live this life by yourself. I can come in and I can help you and I can be a blessing to you. I want to forgive your sins. I want to save your soul. Hey, I want to build you a mansion in heaven. Hey, just open up. Open up. Open up. You know what the sad part is? There'll be men and women that live for 50 and 60 and 70 and sometimes 80 years. And all of that time, the Lord's knocking. And all of that time, they're pushing it off to the side and they're making excuses and they're trying to harden their heart. But let me say this, even to the very last day that you draw breath, if you'll open the door, he'll come in. He'll come in. You know, nothing's more exciting than to watch somebody just come to the place and point in time in their life where all of a sudden they realize, you know what, God loves me and he's been after me a long time. And it's just time for me to give my heart to him. I was thinking just this past week, mentioned to our young adult class, class Friday night, I went over and I preached a youth rally, and while I was preaching, I promise you this is what happened, while I was preaching, there was some knocking going on. When I gave the invitation, four teenagers walked to the front and said, "I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior." Now, there may have been more of them being knocked on than that, but four of them said, "Hey, I'll open up today. I'll accept Christ today." Man, what a deal. I mean, here I am in sin and sorrow, and here I am lost and on my way to hell, and Jesus is willing to save me and cleanse me of all my sin and give me a home in heaven and build me a mansion, and the rest of my life I can live with God's blessing and God's guidance in my life. I'll take that, preacher. But there's no doubt there was probably some young people that heard it. They were so worried about what their friend down there might say, or their girl that they've had their eye on over there might say. So they thought, you know what, I don't want to embarrass myself, so I'll just sit here. And the knocking got louder, but they just grabbed a hold of the back of the pew. You ever watch somebody do that? Grab a hold of the back of the pew and just wait it out. But the problem is, folks, I preached a funeral yesterday, and I was thinking of all of the scores of funerals that I've preached in my life, and I've had this thought. I preached a funeral yesterday of a man of 73 years old. By the way, for 73 of those years, most of his life, the Lord had knocked. A couple months ago, Nathan Walton was his neighbor, and Nathan had been witnessing to him and concerned about him, and he asked his neighbor, "Can I bring my preacher by to see?" And he said, "Bring him." And I walked in, and here after 73 years, this man was finally willing to listen to what the Bible had to say. And you know what? God, for 73 years, had knocked at that man's heart's door. And as I explained the gospel to him and sat at his table and went through the scriptures, I looked up and I called him by name and I said, "Aren't you ready to receive Christ today?" And he looked at me and he said, "Yes, preacher, it's time. I need to get saved." And he got saved. You say, "Well, that's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do my thing, and then one of these days if I get terminally ill, when I get right at the very end..." Folks, I wish that was the only type of a funeral I've ever preached in my years of being a preacher. But the honest truth is, I've preached children's funerals, and I've preached teenagers' funerals, and I've preached young men that were in the prime of their strength. I've preached their funerals, and young ladies that thought they had forever. And the honest truth is, many of the funerals that I've preached, that person that was in that casket had no idea that death was coming. And it happened instantly. It happened in a moment's time. Would you risk eternity? Would you risk eternity? By ignoring that knocking sound one more time this morning, walk back out into this world and risk eternity. Think about that. But Jesus is persistent. He'll just keep knocking. You know why he knocks? He knocks because of the great reality of eternity. If we had the time, I could take you to Revelation, deeper into the book, and show you that there is a place called heaven. But I could also take you back to Luke 16 and show you that the Bible says there is a place called hell. And one of the reasons that Jesus does not stop knocking is because there is a heaven, and he wants you to go there. And if you don't answer the door, there's a hell, and you will go there. So he's going to knock all the way right to the very end. He's going to keep knocking. By the way, members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that's why we ought to keep knocking also. Amen. See, I don't know about some of the people in your church. They're getting a little annoying. Well, I hope so. Amen. I hope so. You know why? Because they love you. They care about you. They understand what this book says. There is a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And there is a Savior that will save you. And you know what? I'd rather make you mad at me on this earth by telling you the gospel too many times than never tell it to you once and stand one day and watch you be thrown into hell and know that your blood's on my hands. Hey, preacher, why are you up there? I mean, what are you all excited about? Why do you give your life to this thing? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus keeps knocking, so I've got to keep knocking alongside him. Amen. I've just got to keep knocking too. Reality of eternity. Why does Jesus keep knocking? Because by knocking, he makes us make a decision. Now, if somebody comes to my door and knocks on my door, I have to make a decision what I'm going to do. I can sit there and ignore it and hope they go away. And if it's a salesman, that's probably what I'll do. But I've got to make some decision. Somebody's knocking, it makes you make a decision. There's been times people's come to the door of my office and been knocking on the door, and I'm on the phone with somebody, and I'll choose not to answer the door. Sometimes they're persistent also, amen? And that's all right, they don't know I'm on the phone. But they'll knock and knock and knock and knock, and I'll just not answer, not answer, not answer, not answer, and then they'll go away. Then I'll usually, when I get done, go to try to find out who was knocking at my door. So I can ignore it if I want to, but the knocking makes me make a decision. So Jesus continues to knock because he's going to make you make a decision. Well, I'm not going to make a decision. If you choose not to open the door, you've made a decision. You've made the decision not to open the door. Man, I was blessed this morning. Already I've run into so many blessings. Yesterday when we got done, let me just share some things. I was talking about Friday night, watching those four teenagers come and get saved. Yesterday, when we did the funeral of Ralph Walters, we preached the gospel. We gave a gospel invitation. Eight of people in that funeral home raised their hand and said the sinner's prayer and said, I understand the gospel and I'm trusting Christ right now as my Savior. You know what was happening during that funeral? God was knocking. God was knocking. God, and by the way, he was knocking at the heart of every lost person there, but at least eight of them raised their hand and said, you know what, I'll open the door. I'll let Christ in. I'll be saved today. I didn't no more get in the door, and I had two different people come up to me and say, hey, you know what, I got to lead somebody to the Lord yesterday on visitation. I mean, here's some Blessed Hope Baptist Church people out there. They're knocking on doors. They're inviting people to church. And hey, by the way, have you ever been saved? Well, what do you mean? Let me take my Bible and show you how I was saved. And then as the scripture is shared, all of a sudden the knocking starts. And isn't it wonderful when someone says, man alive, I want to do that too. I need to be saved. Isn't that a blessing? Levi was telling me on the way to church, he didn't even get him to church. On the way to church, he had one of the workers on his bus talk to one of the young ladies on his bus that's come several weeks and has been wondering about salvation. And she got saved on the way to church this morning. You know what? While the bus was coming, the Lord was knocking. Hey, you know what? You get around this place, I'm just going to tell you folks, if you don't like the knocking sound, you're in the wrong place. Because it happens everywhere around you. The last several weeks, we've ended the service and we've given the invitation. And I think this has happened several times the last several weeks. I look back there and one of the workers from one of the junior churches will come and they'll open the door and they'll bring some children. And you know, I guarantee you right now while I'm preaching, they're preaching out to the young people in children's church, junior church. I promise you some knocking's going on. Some knocking's going on. You say, Brother Jerry, what'd you say was going on this afternoon? 3 o'clock, Jasonville Nursing Home service. Well, does the church here go into the nursing homes? We go into 7 different nursing homes. We have people in our church that volunteer to do that. They go in, they conduct the services. Well, why do they do that? Because you know what? That intensifies the knocking. It gives folks a chance to hear the gospel. I can't tell you how many times in the last several months somebody's come to me and said, Preacher, we preached the Bible, we went there, we sang, we encouraged the folks there at the nursing home, we preached the gospel, and somebody got saved here at our nursing home. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Somebody heard the knocking. For the first time maybe in their life, they really understood how to be saved. I thank God when I look back at my life, and as a young boy, I love it when children get saved. I love it when children get saved. I thank God as I walked into a church years ago, not knowing much about the Bible and not knowing much about really anything to do with church, that I sat there and listened. I thank God that somebody got up there and preached what the Bible said and just didn't quit preaching. And you know what? It's an amazing thing. The more I attended, it seemed like the louder the knocking got. And pretty soon, all of these things, the sermons on heaven, the sermons on hell, the sermons on sin, the sermons on the cross, the sermons on Jesus and who he was and what he did, all of those things came together in my life. All of a sudden I realized, you know, that sound I've been hearing is God working in my heart. I want you to just answer this question within your heart. Do you really believe that? I mean, come on, you've listened to me speak for the last, 20 minutes, 25 minutes? Do you really think that I have some amazing, magical power? You really think that some man can stand up here and just say a bunch of words and all of a sudden you are feeling what you're feeling in your heart? Listen, folks, this is not just a man saying words. This is a preacher preaching the Bible. But, folks, it is just a man. What's happening inside of you is Almighty God's dealing with your heart. If you've never been saved, that knocking is not me pulling some psychological trick on you. It's God working in your heart saying, hey, that's what's been going on all these years. You need to be saved. You know, I will tell you something about that knocking. Once you realize what it is and what it's for, even when you try to ignore it, it just has a tendency to get louder. Somebody say amen right there. You remember, when you decided you knew you needed to be saved, but you didn't really want to be saved? Well, I don't know about this. And then you want to do kind of an about face and run from God thing. But isn't it amazing that once you realize what's going on, God just finds ways to knock louder and louder and louder in your life. Say, why does he do that? Because he loves you. Why does he do that? Because there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. Why does he do that? Because the knocking brings you back to another chance to make the right decision. Thank God. Thank God for all of the folks through the years. This church has been here now, my goodness sakes. My dad's heading right over here for you visitors to know this. He started this church in a man's living room in Midland, Indiana in 1973. And you know what? We since then have knocked doors and passed out gospel tracts and run buses and brought people to church and preached from this pulpit and taught the Word of God in Sunday school and all of the different outreaches for all these years. Why? Because we want folks to know that God loves them and God wants to save them. Amen. What a great opportunity and a privilege it is to be involved in that. Now let me just say this in conclusion. Christ doesn't just knock on the heart door of sinners. Christ knocks at the heart door of saints. Let's go back to our portion of scripture and let's teach it in the context there. It's sad, like I said in introduction, that when we see this knocking and this knocking at the door, that this is in a letter written to a church, a group of people who profess to be saved. Back in verse number 14, Jesus dictates to it a letter to the church of Laodicea. And we read, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness in the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Yes, this verse of scripture, isn't this shocking? If you're a Bible student, isn't this shocking that this portion of scripture is not in the context here talking about Jesus knocking at the heart of someone who's lost, but outside of the church knocking, wanting to get inside of the church? You say, preacher, why is that so shocking? Because the church is supposed to belong to Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be the supreme one. He's supposed to be the one we give preeminence to. He's supposed to be the exalted one. He's supposed to be what it's all about. I'm going to stand up here and give a report, and I want you to listen to me. And if I'm being unfair, tell me after the service. I've been in way too many churches in this Tri-County area, way too many churches. Jesus is none of those things in the church. The church is about cliques, or the church is about arguments, or the church is about somebody wanting preeminence. Church is about a program, or the church is about the preacher. It's supposed to be about Jesus Christ. He's supposed to be our all in all. He's supposed to be the lovely Lamb of God. He's the one that's supposed to be lifted up so that all men will be drawn unto him. Here he is outside of the church house knocking to get in. Why does Jesus continue, preacher, to knock at the door of the heart of saints? And by the way, if you haven't figured it out, the church is and are the Christians. We are the church. So if you're here as a born-again child of God, let me say this. As long as you have a lukewarm heart, God is going to continue to knock at the door of your heart just the way he did back in the days when you were lost. Now let me say this. Becoming lukewarm doesn't make you lose your salvation. But it puts Jesus Christ and pushes Jesus Christ to the outside of your life. And all of a sudden he's back on the outside looking in. And that's a shame. Let me say it again. That's a shame. Why does Jesus knock at the door of the hearts of saints? Because of our spiritual condition. And I don't think for most Christians it's like one day we decide that we're going to get lukewarm. It just happens over a gradual process of time, and all of a sudden we look at our lives, and at one point in the distant past we were on fire for God and excited about the things of God and faithful to church and actually making an impact with our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. But some way or another, Satan has got a foothold and he's just cooled us down to the point where we're not the most wicked person in the world, but you know what, we're just kind of in that middle ground limbo. I oftentimes in my counseling use this when I'm trying to help a Christian evaluate themselves. I'll say, let me ask you this question and be honest and be fair. I'll say, I want you to rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10. 1 being dead, cold Christian that really don't care much about anything about the things of God. Or 10 being a red hot Christian that has never... I mean, you're at the pinnacle of your Christian growth. You've never done more for the Lord Jesus Christ than you're doing this very minute. Where are you? And I will tell you, of the probably 50 times that I've asked that question, most Christians look at me and say either a 4, a 5, or a 6. And you know what they're saying? They're saying, preacher, listen, that doesn't make them bad people. It just gives us a starting place. But I'll say to them, you know what? Satan has you right where he wants you. See, I don't care what number you are. I really don't. It doesn't bother me. I'm not going to get upset one way or another. That's not really the question. The question isn't, where are you from a scale of 1 to 10? It's, are you happy being where you're at? Do you want to stay there? Or is there really a desire in your heart to be more for God than you are? And if you have that, then you have something that you can work with. You have something that you can build on. But Christ will continue to knock. Well, I'm just going to kind of go into this lukewarm, put it in cruise control, not do much for the Lord, kind of live my own life and get all the stuff I can get and enjoy all the fun I can enjoy, and I'm just not going to be much involved. You can go ahead and try to live that life, but let me tell you something. This is what you're going to hear a lot. You know what? The Lord's not going to let you live peacefully in that condition. He's going to keep knocking and knocking and knocking. And by the way, thank God that he does. Jesus knocks at the door of the hearts of saints because of our spiritual condition, because of our materialistic delusions. I won't teach all of these things, but look in verse 17. Isn't that sad? Isn't that America? I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's the attitude of so many Christians. They do not know that they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Boy, let the Lord speak to your heart. He continues to knock because of our need of true revival. He says in verse 18, listen, get a hold of the things that are worth something. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You know what? There are some things that have eternal value, and they're not the things of this world. This book has eternal value. The souls of men have eternal value. Listen, trade in your materialistic mentality and find out what is really important in this life to accomplish for the Lord and get your priorities straightened out. Notice this, white raiment, get back to practical holiness. And then he says to anoint our eyes with eye salve, get our vision back for a lost and dying world. Well, has Jesus done some knocking in your life this morning? Has he done some knocking? Let me see if I can help you feel a little better about this whole thing. Look up here and let me make some confessions. Most, or at least many times, when I'm doing my devotions in the morning, I'm reading the Bible, God's doing some of this in my life. I know you guys come and you hear me preach, and I appreciate it, but let me say this. I probably listen to more preaching than most any of you in this room. And you know why? Because I need to hear preaching, because during preaching, it's amazing how many times God. The other day I was listening to a message. I could tell you the message. I could tell you who preached it. And I could tell you the exact thing God wanted to teach me. And when that preacher got on that point, man, all of a sudden God's doing some knocking on my life. And I said, Lord, you know what? You're exactly right. That needs to be taken care of in my life. And I'm going to take care of it right now. Are you getting this? Man, don't be upset when the Lord knocks. Let me tell you a great way to live your Christian life. Anytime you hear the Lord knocking at your heart's door, run to the door, run to the door, and open the door. Most of you in this room, somebody came by your house that you knew and knocked on the door. There's no way, no way. You've got enough Christian hospitality. There's no way you'd just ignore them and let them sit out there and knock. But isn't it sad that we sometimes treat each other differently than we would treat the Lord Jesus Christ? And if He's knocking at your heart's door this morning, let me encourage you, open the door, open the door, open the door, and let Him in. Look up here and I'm done. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is just one more time that God's come knocking. Now, wait a minute. You die in your sins. You ignore it, and you die in your sins, and you end up in hell one of these days. When you stand before God, you're not going to be able to point a finger in God's face and say, you never tried to get me saved. He'll say, you remember on March 7th, 2010, when you went to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and a preacher pleaded with you to get saved. And by the way, that'll only be one of many times. God will be able to go through your life and say, I came to you here, and 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 I came to you here. Hey, you don't know if you've got tomorrow, and neither do I. Well, you got the opportunity to be saved. Be saved today. If the Holy Spirit of God's convicting your heart, and the honest truth is, you know that you're without Christ. You know that you need to be saved. I would plead with you to be saved today. Christian, let the Lord knock on the door of your heart, and if He is, whatever area of your life that He's trying to deal with, let Him deal with that area of your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a minute. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Let's just quiet our hearts and let the Lord speak to us for a moment or two here. Sometimes it's good after we hear a message just to kind of let the Lord speak to our hearts. Say, preacher, I came in here today, and the honest truth is I don't know about eternity. I'm not sure what would happen if I died right now. I cannot say with confidence. I cannot give you a Bible reason why I could say that I know for sure I'd go to heaven. While you were preaching, you're right. God is speaking to my heart. God is knocking at my heart's door. I'm not saved. This isn't the first time that God's come to me, or maybe it is. But you know what? It's real. God's dealing with me. I need to be saved. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. By the way, I'd like to pray for you, and I won't come to you. We don't do that here. I won't embarrass you in any way. Nobody's looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. But I would like to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you just simply pray for me that I'd make the right decision? Would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? I'm not saved. Please pray for me that I'd make the right decision. I'm not saved. Please pray for me that I'd make the right decision. Anybody, would you raise your hand? This preacher will pray for you. I'm not saved, preacher. Please pray for me that I'd make the right decision. Christians, has God come to you today and knocked gently at your heart's door? Is there something He wants to do in your life? Heavenly Father, bless our time of invitation. We pray, please, in Jesus' name.